This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. But Numbers, the 14th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 20, 21, and 22. Three verses. We're going to try to be effective. We're going to try to be powerful. And whatever the Spirit says, do, we're going to do. Amen. You have it, so I have the word. And I'm ready to receive it. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, I have not hearkened and have not hearkened to my voice. Verse 23. Let's go on to verse 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their father, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring unto the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Amen. Amen. Focus in on verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto we went, and his seed shall possess it. I want to talk to you from the thought and the question that you should ask yourself. What kind of spirit do you have? Still trusting God, amen? Still talking about trusting God. But what kind of spirit do you have? Many times when we read the Bible, and we read especially the first 5 books, we understand that they were written by Moses, and Numbers is significant. A lot of things happen in the book of Numbers that we need to know and understand, because in the book of Numbers, that's where he numbered the people. And that's where he began to tell them about what he needed them to do, go into the promised land and things like that and possess it. And that's where God wanted them to really do what he wanted them to do. Amen? But then we find in the text, just for time's sake, we find out that after God had told them to go and possess the land, they sent spies into the land. When God did never originally say, go spy out the land, he said, go and what? Possess the land. But because they were people who walked by sight and not by faith, amen, he allowed them to go in and what? Spy out the land. Amen. And so when they spied out the land and Moses allowed them to go, they sent one from each tribe. They sent 12 people. All of them came back. All of them saw the same thing. They saw the big grapes where it took 2 men to carry a cluster of grapes. They saw the figs. They saw all of the things that were in the land, and they also saw the men that were in the land. Amen. They came back, and 10 people from 10 tribes gave a bad and evil. The Bible says God called it a what? Evil report. Amen. And there were 2 that were giving the report of the Lord. Amen. That says something to me, that sometime whenever you're trying to do what God wants you to do, there's always going to be more voices that don't agree. Oh, come on and say amen. Than there are that do agree with what God says. Amen. And so here we are, these 10 saying, no, we can't do it. And why couldn't they do it? It's because of what they saw. They saw giants in the land. God didn't tell them that you had to worry about the giants. He said, just go and possess it. Amen. And a lot of times we cannot see for ourselves the things that God has for us because we're too busy looking at people. Oh, come on and say amen. I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me. We're too busy looking at people and how big they are and how big the situation looks, and we fail to look at God does not say do something based on your ability and what you can do, but he says do something based upon the faith that you have in me, the trust that you have in me. Amen? And so they decided, well, we can't possess the land because somebody else already got it. Amen. Somebody bigger than us. And they also said that in our own eyesight, we are like grasshoppers to them. Amen. It's funny that they said that they were like grasshoppers, because grasshoppers, they can hop for a long distance. They even have wings, but they don't fly. Come on and say amen. And they said that we look like grasshopper. We need not have the grasshopper mentality. Amen. We need not have a grasshopper mentality where we start looking and sizing ourselves up based on our own ability to be able to leap, jump, or move when we want to move. Amen. We need to base our ability upon what God has said. That's why it's important to know your Bible. Amen. I know we talk about that all the time. People say, read your Bible. But no, you don't just need to read it. You need to have an understanding. Because the Bible said faith come by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or basically saying you get faith by hearing the word, and your faith grow by understanding what the word of God says. Amen? And so here they were in doubt, and then God all of a sudden says, you know what, Moses? I'm going to destroy this people, and I'm going to get rid of them. Amen? And I'm going to raise up some more people for you. Amen? And God was saying this because God says that they have been doubting me over and over and over again. Now, they are no different than us. They are no different than who we are today, because God can do things for us and we'll still doubt him. Oh, come on and say amen. You know the difference in this. You ought to be praising God is because of the grace of God. The grace of God is the reason why, come on and say amen, the reason why you can doubt and then God gives you another chance. The grace of God. Amen. Back then, they didn't really experience the grace. They were experiencing God's mercy, but they did not experience his grace, because mercy says, okay, you can't do that. Mercy says that God will not do what he intended to do. Amen. All right. And then you keep on doing it, and it keeps accumulating. And finally, God said, now I need to take you out. But grace allows you to do some things. Come on and say amen. And then God said, you know what? I'm going to forgive you because of what Christ Jesus did. Amen. So we can't forget the cross. And anytime you read, even in the Old Testament, you can't read without remembering the cross of Jesus Christ. Come on and say amen. And so when we start to look at this and we start to question ourselves, what kind of spirit do we have? Oh, yeah, we walk up with people and talk with people all the time, and we find out that they have a different kind of spirit than we have. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, we talk with people and you find out that they may have a spirit of lust. Oh, come on and say amen now. Then you talk with people, you may find out that they may have a spirit of anger and a spirit of unforgiveness. They may have a spirit of doubt, a spirit of confusion that come upon them. You know that there's a lot of spirits that's out there, amen? And sometimes you'll find out what kind of spirit a person has based upon what kind of attitude that they carry. Oh, y'all don't hear me now. When you find a person who is a person that seems to always have something bad to say, you say that person has a negative spirit. Come on and say amen. And so it shows in their what? Attitude. And that's why as Christians, it's important for us to have the right spirit, because people are looking at you and you're representing God. Come on. You're supposed to be Christ-like, and here you are in the morning when they speak to you. You can't even speak. They say, good morning, what's good about it? You ought to have a grateful attitude, a spirit. Come on and say amen. Something about you ought to be different than everyone else. The Bible says that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Come on and say amen. And since we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, then he says that we are a what? Peculiar people. Too many of us as Christians, we are too predictable. Amen. When God is saying you ought to be, because of my spirit, you ought to be peculiar. Amen. You ought to not be so predictable that people know, oh, I know she's going to cuss. I know she's going to cut the fool. I know she's going to act up. Amen. I know she's going to do this. I know she's going to do that. No, you shouldn't have people saying that about you. You should have a peculiar spirit about yourself. But here it was. They doubted. We find out that when they doubted, amen, they walked in, first off, a perversion. And I know we talk about perversion, and when people say pervert, perversion, they think about something that is explicit or sexual, but anybody could walk in perversion, and it won't have to be sexual. The word perversion means failure to abide in, or failure to abide in truth, distortion, or in corruption. Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, here it was, the children of Israel, who God had brought out of the land of Egypt, all of a sudden now they can't walk in truth because now they are doubting because of what they see. Many of us cannot walk in truth because of what we see. And that's why the scripture said we walk by faith and not by sight. Come on and say amen. And so they were walking in distortion. Their view of what God was saying was distorted because of what they saw. Amen. And what they saw bared more on their mind and in their heart than what God said. Why? It's because they had not really truly sold out to God. Come on and say amen. They were in unbelief. They were failing to abide in the truth of what God has said, and so they were walking in unbelief. Amen? And so that reminds me of what the scripture says, that when you, he says that anything that is not of faith is what? Sin anyway. Amen? So that's perverted. Amen? When you're not able to walk in faith, then you become a person of perversion. Then you become a person of distortion. Come on and say amen. And a person of corruption, because you do not walk in faith. Not, it wasn't just that they had unbelief, but they were unwilling to trust God. Sometimes we're not willing to trust God whenever we get to a situation. And I want this message to be elementary to you. I want it to be basic to you so that you'll get it. Because we need to understand that we have to be willing to trust God. What separated Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What made them better? They said, look, even if God don't, I'm willing to trust him because he's what? Able to do what he said he would do. Come on and say amen, y'all. And so we have to be willing, even if it don't look good, even if we get a bad report from the doctor, even if somebody shakes their head and say, I don't see you getting out of this, even if the situation look dim and grim, are you willing to trust God? Look at their perversion. The Bible says here in verse number 20, it says, and the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to thy word. He says, Moses, I've pardoned them because you prayed for them. That's why we ought to be praying for one another, amen? Because I know today that somebody in here is walking in unbelief, but I need to be praying for you, amen? Because, you know, I don't want you to be done. I don't want you to be washed up. I don't want you to waver, because the Bible says that if you waver, if you don't have faith, if you're not consistent, amen, in your faith, he said that you will not be able to receive anything from God. That's what James said. He said a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Come on and say amen. He said, if you can't get the faith that God has for you and stay in faith, he said, then you're like a wave of the sea. You waver. And he said, don't think that you can receive anything from God with a wavering faith. In other words, the faith that one day it's here, then the next day is out at sea somewhere. Come on and say amen. One day it's up on the beach and you're enjoying it, and the next day you say, you know what? It's not here. I don't have faith today. Come on. It's up one day like a wave, then down. What happened to it? It's washed up. I don't have it anymore. Come on and say amen. And so we need to be willing to trust God. And Moses prayed for them and asked God. He said, God, and sometimes you just remind God of his word. Amen. Moses reminded God, God, you told me when I saw you in that burning bush, you spoke to me and you said you were going to use these people. Come on and say amen. God, and you know what God does? It's not that it was just Moses' word, but God honors his own word. Amen. And what we have to do is remind God of himself. God, remember you said it. God, and it's not that God is forgetful, but he wants to know that you paid attention when he spoke to you. Come on and say amen here. In order to get out of our perversion, our doubt, we have to get the word. We have to know the word. Verse 21, and he said, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. What was he saying? He was saying this to them. He was letting them know that he says that even if you doubt, y'all need to know that my glory is still going to be filled in the earth. Oh, yeah, even if I can't use these people, I got to raise up some people that's going to let my glory be made known in the earth. And what God is looking for is some people who don't mind letting him use them. He's looking for some people who don't mind saying, you know what, God, for you I live and for you I die. He's looking for people that will display his glory, not talking about themselves, not building themselves up, but building up God and his kingdom. Come on and say amen. So when we look at the perversion, we can't help but look at the pardon. He was ready to destroy them, but Moses prayed. Amen. And the reason why he was ready to destroy them is because he talked about the many things that he brought them out of. Oh, yeah. He says, look, he began to say that he says in verse number 22, he said, because all those men which have seen my glory, my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. He says, look here, I've shown them. Not only have I shown them in the wilderness, but I showed them in Egypt, in the world. When they were back there bound up, I showed them how good I was. I showed them my miracles. I showed them how good I can deliver. I showed them that I'll do just what I said I would do. And when I got them out of Egypt, when they didn't have anything, I gave them manna from heaven. Oh yeah, I even fed them with flesh. Come on and say amen. I gave them what they needed in the wilderness when they couldn't do for themselves. And not just that, but I made sure that when they came out of Egypt, that everybody that was sick was healed before they hit the road. Come on and say amen. They saw all of this. I made sure that they feet and their clothes didn't get old, and that even if their feet grew, their shoes grew with them. I showed them a miracle. Come on and say amen. I showed them so much that they should have some kind of faith in me. They should know that I'm faithful and just. They should know that I can do anything but fail, lie, and die. They should know by now that I'm God and I won't fail you. Come on. Come on. Somebody ought to see this. And he was saying that, look, these people have doubted me not one time. But God said, you've doubted me 10 times. Each time I did something for you, you turned around and said, you know what? I don't believe. Each time I healed you, you still turned around and said, I don't know if God is going to do it. Each time I delivered you, you still turned around and said, I don't know if God will do it. Oh, come on and say amen. Every time I fed you, you still turned around and said, I don't know if God going to give me what I need. But God is saying, a time out for that. It's time for us to get another spirit, a spirit of faith. Oh, come on and say amen. We got to understand something. Faith can be taught, but the spirit of faith has to be caught. Oh, come on and say amen. I got to catch the spirit of faith. I got to hold on to what God has said. So they doubted, but God pardoned them. Oh, yeah. And he decided, you know what, Moses, you're right. I'm not going to destroy them. But let me tell you what I will do. Because of our doubt, we miss out on so much. Because of our failure to trust God, we miss out on so much. Do you know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life? You know that. But why is it that there's so many people that doubt that? Why is it that so many people that doubt that they believe, doubt about what he's done, and they don't really know? Amen? It's because they don't really understand, and they have not caught the spirit of faith. Amen? They don't have the spirit like Caleb had. They don't have the spirit that tells them that whatever God says, you better believe it. Amen. So now let's go on to verse number 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. I don't want to provoke God. I don't want God to say, you know what? I'm not going to bless you because of what you did. I don't want God to say that at any time, amen, because I know that God, the Bible tells us that I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man what things that God has in store for him. But guess what he says? He said, but it's been revealed by my spirit. So what kind of spirit do you have? And the thing we got to understand is that you got to begin to see yourself with something. You got to begin to see yourself saved, sanctified, and filled with His Holy Ghost first off. And then all the other stuff can come after that. But what happens is people come to church not so that they can be filled with the Holy Ghost, so that they can see themselves saved. But they come so they can see themselves with a house. They can come so they can see themselves healed. They come so they can see themselves with a husband or a wife. Come on and say amen. And that's why they come. They come with the wrong motive. That's why James said that you pray and you ask, but you ask amiss. You got the wrong motive. I don't have that kind of motive. Lord, just don't let me die and go to hell. I want to be saved first. I want to first of all have salvation. Secondly, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because Lord, I want you to use me. And then thirdly, Lord, I want everything that you want me to have. I want to do everything that you say I need to do before I check out of here. Come on and say amen here. And so God began to talk to him, but then he lays a promise on him. See, we talked about the perversion. Then we talk about the pardoning, but now we're going to end this with talking about the promise. He said that surely they won't be able to go into the land. And surely they didn't. You know what? Everybody that was older than 20 years old died in the wilderness. They never got a chance to see the promised land. Come on and say amen. They never. And you know one thing about Moses? Moses, here he was talking to God, trying to calm God down. But then he turns around and get mad and go and smite the rock when God told him to speak to it. Come on and say amen. So what we got to understand here is that we, even Moses, we at some point, may get frustrated, but we have to still do what God says do. I don't care how frustrating it looks. I don't care how bad it gets. You still need to obey what God said. You still need to keep the right spirit. Amen? But verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Look at the promise that God gives it to. He does not promise this to everyone, but he promises it to a particular one. He promised it to a peculiar one. Come on and say amen. He said that this Caleb. Now all of a sudden, out of over 2 million people, God recognizes one man. God recognizes him. Why? Because he had another spirit. So I'm asking you this morning, what kind of spirit do you have? Will God recognize your spirit for good, or will he recognize your spirit and say that's bad? Oh, come on and say amen. They had a spirit. They had a doubtful spirit, and the spirit of the people was upon all of them. Come on and say amen. The spirit of the 10 went upon all the people. They all got afraid. They all began to fear. They all began to doubt, but there was one who had a different spirit, and he didn't even call Joshua because Joshua's going to make it, but he said there's Caleb. And when we begin to dissect and look at who Caleb was and who Caleb is, we find out that Caleb, his name, I love his name. His name means forceful. His name not only means forceful, but his name means a dog. Oh, come on and say amen. I'm going somewhere and I'm going to be through in just a second. Caleb had another spirit. So his name itself tells of who he was and what he was. And then he says that Caleb had followed me what? Fully, amen? He was like a dog with faith, amen? He was forceful with his faith. He was saying that I don't care what it looked like, I'm going to take it by force. We got to remember what the scripture says. The scripture said the kingdom of God suffered violence, but the violent take it by force. I don't know about you, but sometimes you have to have a forceful faith. I need to have faith that forces me to believe God. That's why sometimes you end up in a position where can't nobody help you. Can't nobody bring you out. And God said, I'm trying to make you like Caleb. I'm trying to get to where you are forced to believe me. Oh yeah, can't nobody heal you. The medicine didn't work, but I'm trying to get you to a point where it forces you to have faith and know that can't nobody do you like Jesus. Yes, I hope you hear me this morning. So when we begin to look at Caleb, not only does his name mean forceful, and he was ready to force this thing. I'm ready to take by force everything that God promised me. He told me I can have the promised land, and I'm going to take it by force. See, the thing about your faith, the scriptures say now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What your faith really does
because it forces you to see that you got something that you can't see. Oh, come on and say amen. No, I can't see the Holy Ghost, but by faith I know I got the Holy Ghost. Oh yeah, I can't see heaven, but by faith I know I got a possession in heaven. Oh, come on and say amen. I can't see salvation, but by faith I force my way to see it. Oh, come on and say amen. You see, when you got faith that forces, or faith that's forceful, you can be like the woman with the issue of blood. She forced her way through the crowd, and she forced her hand forward, and she forced virtue to come out of Jesus' garment. Can I get a witness in here? When we begin to look at Caleb, and I said his name means forceful, but it also means dog. See, Caleb had the faith like a dog. He said, Caleb was fully with me. He has fully followed me. I'm reminded of how a dog will follow his master. We need to know that God is our master, and we need to follow him wherever he goes. Oh yeah, even if it's danger around, we need to still follow our master. I'm reminded of a little dog my daddy had. That little dog was the smartest dog I ever seen, and her name was Shelly. Shelly was a faithful dog. He was in the hospital for a while. When he came home, I told Shelly to move back, but Shelly wanted to get close to him, and I've never seen her bite anybody, but she tried to bite me that day because I was keeping her from her master. So what I'm trying to say here, you got to realize how faithful you have to be. If anything gets in the way between you and God, you need to begin biting it and say, you better get out of my way because I got to get to where my master is. But let me tell you a little more about Shelly. Shelly was so faithful that one day my sister T, she started running up the street because she would go on her daily jogs, and Shelly started to follow, and she told Shelly, get back. But Shelly acted like she was going back, and then she turned around while she was on the highway, and here comes Shelly running right behind her. She was so faithful that she followed her up the road, but look at what happened to her. While she was following the master, she got ran over and died. But you know one thing, we can't say nothing bad about Shelly, because Shelly was faithful until death. So what I'm trying to ask you is, what kind of spirit do you have? Will you be faithful until death? Come on and say yes here. Oh yeah, Caleb was like a dog. You got to hold on to it. If God promised it to you, you got to say, I'm going to hold on, because you'll find out later. When Caleb was 80 years old, he went up to Joshua and said, give me this mountain because God promised it to me. So you can't be forgetful. You see, you got to be like Caleb. You got to be like a dog. A dog can smell something. He can smell a blessing in the air. If you start to cook, he say, I know I need to get to the house because something going on at the house. If somebody walking through the woods, a dog can hear what's going on. What I'm trying to tell you today is that if you can be faithful to God, then you'll have a discernment, and you'll be able to hear what's going on. You'll be able to hear the promises of God. You can be like Caleb. You can be a dog about it. When somebody asks you what kind of spirit you got, you say, I got the Holy Ghost, but I got the faith of a dog. In other words, when I grab hold of it, I'm not going to let it go. You got to be like Caleb. If you ever fed a dog and another dog comes up, even though he's still eating, he's looking at whoever it is, and he start growling to let them know, you're walking on my turf. This belongs.